Fantasy sports dudes, which is all of you, did you know that your chance of winning on draft 80% better than on salary cap sites? That's why draft is my favorite fantasy site. No more getting crushed by the pros. Not just me. More than 1 million people have already downloaded draft too. You can play in a real live NFL or NBA draft right now if you want. Be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the next day. Drafts are filling up every second, so you can join one whenever you want. All new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. You have to use my promo code FEAST. That's right. Playing a real money draft for free just by using promo code FEAST. It gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Fantasy Feast listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with promo code FEAST.
It's time to eat.
Get in my belly!
Sit down and get ready to consume an abundance of fantasy football knowledge from Ross Tucker and Evan Silva.
Me so hungry.
On the Fantasy Feast Eating Podcast.
Yeah, let's eat, baby. It is the Fantasy Feast Eatin' Podcast. Great week to have it. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Presented by BetOnline.ag, the online gaming website of choice for the Fantasy Feast Podcast. They got the best odds, the fastest payouts. He's the star of the show. You know it. I know it. At Evan Silva on Twitter, Roto World's finest. I am merely a former NFL offensive lineman that really enjoys fantasy, learning more about it. Thoroughly impressed by the level of fantasy analysis that is out there. And really, it transcends fantasy. I mean, the level of football analysis, data analysis that's out there, always highly, highly impressed. And thankfully, we got the best guy out there, Evan Silva. Evan, a lot to get to in part one as well as part two. Let's start, though, by talking about HelloFresh, because I know that's what you want to talk about first. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers your favorite step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. You guys know the deal, right? I mean, you've heard about these, hopefully. Very convenient. You can do whatever delivery day you want. There's a huge benefit. You're saving money. You're eating healthier. You get to actually cook food, but you don't take all the time to measure out the ingredients and stuff or go get the ingredients. They got a million different selection plans and flexibility. It's very, very simple. And some of their recipes: Juicy Lucy burger with tomato onion jam and arugula salad, little lobster ravioli, easy peasy ravioli gratin with spinach. You kidding me? Here's the deal, okay? It's delicious. I love it. You should love it. And you can get $30 off your first week of HelloFresh by just going to HelloFresh.com and entering the code FEAST30. Think about it. HelloFresh.com. You get $30 off. I'm handing you $30. I'm giving you free food. HelloFresh.com. Enter code FEAST30. Very, very cool concept. And this is the way people are doing it now, because it's all about saving time, baby. That's the way life is now. All right, Evan, so in part one today, we are going to do the three Thanksgiving Day games and make sure we have those nailed ahead of time for everybody. And then we're going to do part two a little bit later in the week because of the holiday and travel schedules. Likely going to do part two Saturday morning, so you guys will still have everything you need well in advance of the Sunday games, because we'll record that Saturday morning. But we all have hectic travel schedules, including me, because I'll be at the Lions and Vikings game tomorrow. I'll be in Detroit for that one, calling the game for Westwood One. Vikings-Lions, Evan. Let's dive into this one. 8-2 Vikings, 6-4 Lions. Vikings defense kind of shut down the LA Rams' high-flying offense on Sunday. Yep. What does that mean in your mind? Why don't we start with the Lions offensively?
Yeah, and we talked about last week how thought that game might be a little bit lower scoring than I think it was projected. It went well under the total. The Vikings have been they've played shutdown defense at home, and that was one of the reasons that we kind of liked the under there. They have not been quite as dominant in away games. They gave up a big number to Washington. In Washington, they gave up a pretty big number to the Steelers earlier in the year. And over their last four non-London away games, they've given up an average of almost 28 points per game, dating back to a little bit into last season. So I think that Matthew Stafford can still have a good game. And now he's gone on a five-game run where he's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback in five straight. And a couple of them have been in very tough spots. I mean, last week at Soldier Field, particularly the Bears don't give up a lot of points. They did give up a big game to Matthew Stafford. He was the quarterback 8 on the week. Stafford also went to Green Bay during this streak and had a big game. And he also had a big game against Pittsburgh, which has been like a top five pass defense all year. So I think that he can have a good game here, and I would continue to ride him. You don't have to worry about the weather. The game's at Ford Field. So I think that he is a good play. I think that if you're playing on the Thanksgiving only daily fantasy slate, which a lot of people love to do, I love to do, I think that he's my favorite my second favorite quarterback on the slate behind Kirk Cousins. And then Phillip Rivers a little bit more down, and Dak Prescott also. I think that Case, and we'll get to all these guys, but I think that Matthew Stafford is my second, I'm not talking about price, but my second favorite play on the Thanksgiving only slate. In the backfield, the Lions have a tougher matchup. Amir Abdullah is going to be facing off with a Vikings run defense that has allowed the fewest fantasy points in the league to opposing running backs and has also held opposing running backs to 3.4 yards per carry. They've also given up the fourth fewest receiving yards to running backs. So kind of any way you slice it, Theo Riddick, Amir Abdullah, none of these guys really have a good matchup. Amir Abdullah has finished below 15 touches in five of his last six games, and he's totaled 60 yards from scrimmage or fewer in six straight games. So he really needs a touchdown to pay off, and when he doesn't score a touchdown, he's going to hurt you. Theo Riddick played actually his third highest snap rate of the season, played almost half of the snaps in last week's win over the Bears. But I think that was in large part because the Lions fell behind early, and so that kind of put the passing game specialist Theo Riddick onto the field more. I don't know if that's likely to happen again this week against the Vikings. So if we could ever get like Theo Riddick and Amir Abdullah into one player, that guy would be very good in fantasy. But when they split work like they do, like really neither of them is an attractive fantasy option. In the passing game, I think that we are going to see Xavier Rhodes chase around Marvin Jones, and that has not gone well for Marvin Jones over their last three meetings. Earlier this season, Xavier Rhodes held Marvin Jones to two catches for 42 yards, actually only got one of the catches against Xavier Rhodes. And then last year, Marvin Jones' stat lines against the Vikings were one catch for 5 yards and four catches for 54 yards. No touchdowns in any of those games. I think that the game sets up better for Golden Tate, who plays 80% of his snaps at slot receiver. The Vikings slot corners, they use a rotation there of Terrence Newman, who's 39 years old, and Mackenzie Alexander, a young player that they're trying to get more snaps. They did this last year with Trey Waynes as well, kind of trying to force him in to the lineup just to get him to, you know, get him involved more because they know they're going to need him because Terrence Newman isn't going to be around forever. But I think that Golden Tate can take advantage of those matchups. At third receiver, it has become a timeshare between Kenny Golladay and T.J. Jones. But T.J. Jones or Kenny Golladay last week played 56% of the Lions' offensive snaps, T.J. Jones 43%, but T.J. Jones ran 21 routes, Kenny Golladay ran 18 routes. So it's about even as we, you know, from a projection standpoint, on Thanksgiving, whoever is out there on a given play, and again, it's going to be a rotation, is going to be running routes at Trey Waynes, who was a guy we had success picking on early in the year, but he's gotten better over the course of the season, and he doesn't necessarily pose a great matchup. With that said, I would lean more toward Kenny Golladay than T.J. Jones. I think Kenny Golladay has a bigger play potential. And at 6'4", 218, he can be a guy that Matthew Stafford looks for in the red zone. Eric Ebron played a season-low 44% of the snaps in last week's game, but he matched a season high with 7 targets. Vikings have given up the 12th most catches to tight ends. Eric Ebron has not reached 60 yards in a single game this year, but he does have the second most red zone targets on the Lions. He's in play on this Thanksgiving only slate. You know, we're considering everyone. We're considering Kenny Golladay. We're considering some of these Giants receivers that we'll talk about in the last game. On the other side, for the Vikings offense, Case Keenum has been a very boom or bust over the course of the year. He's had some really bad games, but he started to settle in. I mean, the more he's played, the better he's gotten. He's been a top 12 fantasy quarterback in 3 straight weeks. I think that people are still going to be hesitant to use him on the Thanksgiving only slate. The Lions do play pretty good pass defense. They're 11th in pass defense DVOA. They've given up the 9th fewest touchdown passes in the NFL. But, you know, these receivers that Case Keenum has the benefit of playing with, they're really, really, really good. And they can propel him into big games. And, you know, he's playing indoors. Don't have to worry about the weather. And, I mean, he's always a guy that's been willing to take chances. And I like some of these matchups that we'll get to in a minute for the Vikings pass catcher core. So I think that he will be one of the lower owned quarterbacks on Thanksgiving DFS slate. And he's got pretty much just, I mean, I think that Kirk Cousins is clearly at the top, but I think that he's got just as good a shot as, you know, Rivers or Matthew Stafford of finishing in that second or third spot. If you just think about the quarterbacks ranking them going in, and then like adjust for pricing on the DFS sites, I mean, he's right there with the other guys. It's I think it's a big bunch behind Kirk Cousins, and he's very much in the mix. The Lions, so I've gone through, you know, they've just been very. I've gone through periods where I thought that the Lions' run defense was all right, and then we've gone through periods where the Lions' run defense has looked really bad. They've looked really bad lately. Jordan Howard ran all over them. The week before, the Browns ran all over them. I mean, they're giving up 6.3 yards per carry on 50 rushing attempts over their last 2 games. Latavius Murray has overcome that ankle, those ankle problems that plagued him early in the year. He's got 15-plus carries in 5 straight games. He's now 7th in the NFL in carries inside the 5-yard line. And his touchdown probability on the Thanksgiving-only slate is right up there with you know, any of the backs behind Melvin Gordon. I think that Melvin Gordon is clearly the number one. But in just in terms of sheer touchdown probability, Latavius Murray, because he gets a lot of work in scoring position, he's up there on this Thanksgiving only slate. Jerick McKinnon still out snapped Latavius Murray 58% to 52% last week and out touched him 19 to 16. And in PPR leagues, Jerick McKinnon is still the better fantasy play, even though Latavius Murray has been scoring touchdowns. The Lions are very vulnerable to running backs in the passing game. They've given up the sixth most catches and ninth most receiving yards in the league to running backs. So Jerick McKinnon is still an excellent play, even though Latavius Murray has clearly carved out a very prominent role. I mean, again, McKinnon is still getting more touches, still getting more snaps. The guys that people will want to hear about, of course, are the wideouts for the Vikings. Adam Thielen, stud, 9-plus targets in 5 straight games. He's playing outside more than he did earlier in the season, and that allows him to run deeper routes, and that's why we've seen him start to make more big plays lately. He still runs around half of his snaps in the slot, so that means he's going to avoid Darius Slay. Darius Slay only plays in the slot 2% of the time. I think that we will see Darius Slay shadow Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, though, he plays a little over 20% of his snaps in the slot, so he also will be able to get away from Darius Slay's coverage. I think that Adam Thielen is the better one-for-one play between Thielen and Stephon Diggs. But I think that, like, everyone will know that. And Stephon Diggs, for a guy with just monster big play ability, he will be lower owned than Adam Thielen, especially as people chase the recency bias. Thielen has had the big games lately. Stephon Diggs has not. I think that Kyle Rudolph, so there are a bunch of good tight end plays on this slate. Evan Ingram, Vernon Davis, if we get him without Jordan Reed, which it looks like we are going to. But I think that Kyle Rudolph is right there. I mean, Kyle Rudolph has 7 or more targets in 6 straight games. The Lions have given up the 5th most yards to tight ends. Last week, they gave up 6 for 64 and a touchdown to Adam Shaheen and Daniel Brown. Some people probably haven't even heard of at least one, maybe both of those guys. Kyle Rudolph, I think he's due for some positive touchdown regression. He's getting a lot of work. He has a great matchup, but his red zone usage just isn't what it was last season when he led all tight ends in red zone targets. But I think that he's going to be a good bet to step up for a touchdown pretty soon, and it wouldn't surprise me if it did occur on Thanksgiving. The third receivers are kind of a nightmare to break down. It's a big rotation between Laquon Treadwell, Jarius Wright, and Michael Floyd. And even on a really small slate like this, I don't think that we can really go there. Just the guys just don't play a lot. They also split time with David Morgan, the Vikings' number 2 tight end, who has started to play more, and he's been an actual contributor, more of a contributor than Jarius Wright or Michael Floyd lately. And we can move on to the next one.
The next one is 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, and it is the Dallas Cowboys hosting the L.A. Chargers. Cowboys not able to really do very much against the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday night, and now they got the Chargers coming to town. Based on last I saw, it looked like Tyron Smith might play for the Cowboys, which would certainly help their case. Left tackle has been an issue for them the last couple days, last couple games, I should say. But taking a look at this game, Evan, I know we were texting and you were telling me that you really like the Chargers' defense in this one.
Yeah, I also like in daily fantasy the price of the Chargers' defense. So it does look like Tyron Smith is going to play. How long is he going to last in the game? How effective is he going to be? The Cowboys have had issues elsewhere. It's not just all on Tyron Smith. He's only one of 11. So the Chargers have been very good as a fantasy defense. Period. I mean, they've been a high floor fantasy defense. I mean, I love Dak Prescott. I don't think that he stinks all of a sudden because he's had 2 bad games in a row with a depleted supporting cast. But I think that the Chargers look like, especially relative to their price, the best defensive play on the board for the Thanksgiving-only slate. Dak Prescott, I think, needs to be viewed as a boomer bust guy who could very easily bust. I mean, last week he ended up with 0.2 fantasy points, and he was a backbreaker. I mean, I had him on a couple of teams. I looked at, you know, the streamer plays that were available on the waiver wire. I decided, nope, I'm rolling with Dak. And, you know, that hurt me. And, you know, even with Tyron Smith back, I'm concerned that a similar situation could play out, because it's gone on now for 2 weeks. The Chargers are third in the league in sacks. They're fourth in interceptions. They're number seven in pass defense DVOA. Dak is, I think that Dak is a great player, and he can pay off just with his legs. He runs in one or two touchdowns, and he ends up being great in fantasy. But I think that we need to know what we're getting into right now with him, and that's that he has a really low floor, and that can hurt you. In the running game, Alfred Morris has been great. Last week he was excellent. He out-touched Rod Smith 17-8. He severely outproduced Rod Smith all year, even though Rod Smith played more snaps than him last week. The Chargers looked good in run defense in Week 10 against Leonard Fournette, and then they struggled again last week against LeSean McCoy. They're 27th in run defense DVOA. They give up 4.9 yards per carry to opposing running backs. Alfred Morris is another low floor guy because he doesn't get any receiving work. And so, you know, if he has a game where he, I don't know, runs for 63 yards and doesn't score a touchdown, you know, he's not going to be able to supplement that with any other peripheral stats, and it gets you 6.3 points, and that stinks. So that makes him kind of touchdown or bust. And he's definitely not like a high floor fantasy play. With that said, I think that he should be able to have rushing success against this particular defense. And Rod Smith, not really in play. I mean, even though he's been on the field a lot, they're not trying to push touches to him. They're not trying to feed him in the passing game. So, I mean, look, you know, again, everyone's in play on the Thanksgiving only slate, but he would be pretty low down my personal running back rankings. In the pass catcher core, this is another reason to have some skepticism about Dak. The Chargers have given up the eighth fewest yards in the league to opposing wide receivers. Dez Bryant, I mean, the volume has been there. He's got 8+ targets in 8 of 10 games. His matchup is going to be difficult. I think we will see him shadowed by Casey Hayward. One of the potential openings that Dez could see is that he runs 27% of his routes in the slot. Casey Hayward only goes in the slot 1% of the time, although Casey Hayward played a bunch of slot in Green Bay. So, you know, if they wanted to allow Casey Hayward to go into the slot, I mean, he very, very well could. It's a difficult matchup throughout the passing game. Terrence Williams has 0 touchdowns on the year. He had the one good game against Kansas City. That's his only 50-yard game since week one. Cole Beasley hasn't reached 35 yards in a game all season. He's had two crazy, fluky 2-touchdown games, and that's what you need. What you would need from him to pay off. Jason Witten has been held to single-digit yards 4 times in 10 games this year, and the Chargers have played lights out against tight ends. They held Travis Kelce to 1 catch for 1 yard. They held Evan Ingram to 0 catches. They held Charles Clay last week to 3 catches for 27. They held Rob Gronkowski to 57 yards. I mean, they've faced some good tight ends and given them problems, and that is concerning for Jason Witten. Let's talk about the Chargers.
Before we get to the Chargers, there's one more thing I wanted to mention with you talking about the Chargers and how you like them for DraftKings. They're actually the DraftKings defense of the week because you like them and you like their price. You listed all of the reasons why, especially for the Thanksgiving slate. Speaking of Thanksgiving, for DraftKings and the Chargers being the DraftKings defense of the week, pretty cool, man. If you get to DraftKings.com now, like before tomorrow, and use code FEAST, you can take advantage of an exclusive Thanksgiving offer. Now through Thursday, DraftKings will instantly match your first deposit free up to $10. So you're getting a $10 match now at DraftKings, not just a free entry. They're matching your deposit. Now that's something to be thankful for. It's promo code FEAST to get up to $10 free. DraftKings is the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Deposit match issued in DraftKings credit, of course. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, Evan, you were saying about the Chargers offensively after they put up an insane amount of points against the Bills, although a lot of that might have had to do with Mr. Peterman, who, by the way, second consecutive week, news has come out about the Bills quarterback position while we're recording the Bills. Just so you know, Evan, we're going to talk about it in part two, but the Bills are going back to Tyrod Taylor this week.
Okay.
So anyway, Chargers. How much of that? How much what they did last week was Chargers O? How much was Bills D? And how much was Nathan Peterman?
Yeah, I think it was in large part. Like, I don't want to minimize how much it was Bills D. I mean, the Bills D is just on a downward slope. I mean, they've given up a lot of good players since the beginning of the season, and the cracks are opening, and the walls are caving in. But Phillip Rivers gets another good matchup this week against Dallas. You know, this is a Dallas defense that is missing Sean Lee, that has given up top 15 quarterback results in six of their last nine games, that has given up the seventh most touchdown passes and the eighth highest passer rating. I think that just purely in terms of matchup, again, Kirk Cousins stands out, but Phillip Rivers is right there with him. Purely in terms of matchup. And with Kirk Cousins, you know, the game's going to be outdoors. It's going to be chilly. I mean, Kirk Cousins has played in that kind of environment. But Phillip Rivers, who gets to play indoors in the highest total game on the Thanksgiving slate at 48 points. And the game is a pick 'em. So it could be close. And hey, if the Cowboys offense gets rolling, I think it could go way over the total. I think that the best the best guys to stack Phillip Rivers with are Keenan Allen and Melvin Gordon. Keenan Allen, we'll talk about in a second. Melvin Gordon, again, facing off with this Cowboys defense that is missing Sean Lee, who is a true difference maker, as we've discussed in past shows. And also middle linebacker Anthony Hitchens suffered a groin injury last week, did not return in the second half. And it does look like he's going to play, but again, you know, these groin injuries are tricky. The Cowboys were just gassed by the Eagles running backs on the ground last week, 7.5 yards per carry. So you know, this is going to be one of the best matchups that Melvin Gordon sees all year. We should talk about Austin Ekeler. So after Austin Ekeler lost that game-costing fumble in Week 10 against the Jaguars at a time where it looked like he was really starting to cut into Melvin Gordon's workload. Melvin Gordon comes out for the next game, plays every single snap at running back in the first half. And Austin Ekeler ends up seeing the field and actually scores a touchdown against the Bills, but it was essentially garbage time by then. I do think that we're going to see him get some involvement. I probably project him in the range of 6 to 10 touches. And so that puts him in play as like a guy, if you're trying to get a little cute on this short slate, he would be a guy that, that you could definitely look at. And then Keenan Allen going up against this Cowboys defense that has given up big numbers in the slot. So Keenan Allen is not a, like a full-time slot receiver like Golden Tate, who we talked about before, but he plays about half of his snaps in the slot. We've seen Larry Fitzgerald, Jamison Crowder, Cooper Kupp, Sterling Shepard have all had pretty good games against the Cowboys as slot receivers. On the season, the Cowboys have given up the seventh most fantasy points to wide receivers, including the third most touchdown catches allowed to the position. I think that Keenan Allen can have another big game after last week's eruption. So I wish that we could talk a little bit more positively about Hunter Henry, but you know, just hasn't been getting enough usage, and I think he could very easily pop up for a good game, but you know, just based on his talent. But the usage just hasn't been there. Last week, though, he did establish a five-week high in pass routes run. And the Cowboys, they faced Zach Ertz coming off that hamstring injury last week. But in their previous two games, they gave up big games to Travis Kelce and Austin Hooper. So I like the matchup for Hunter Henry. I like the fact that he's running more routes last week, but he just hasn't been getting enough footballs in his direction. And he's a very interesting play on this Thanksgiving-only slate, though. Antonio Gates hasn't gone over 30 yards at all this season, hasn't scored a touchdown since week two. He's played less than 50% of the snaps in four straight games. Not really somebody I'm trying to force in. At wide receiver, Travis Benjamin is on the injury report with an abdomen. I don't know. The beat writers have like suggested that he might not play, but he's been limited. Guys who are limited usually tend to play, so I'm going to assume that he is playing. But I think that the guy to discuss here, the first one to discuss, is Mike Williams. His snap percentage has gone up in five straight games. Last week he was at 55% of the snaps, by far a season high. He drew eight targets. Now, three of them came from Kellen Clemens in garbage time. But you like to see that all those numbers as they occur, as they continue to get bigger and bigger for Mike Williams. The guy was a touchdown scorer at Clemson, and I think he's definitely in play as a cheap punt for Thanksgiving DFS. Tyrell Williams is the other guy to discuss. Unfortunately, he's another guy in this offense that just isn't getting a lot of usage. He's on the field a lot, but he hasn't reached 50 yards since week four, and he has one touchdown all year. And we can move on to the next one.
Last game for part one. We're only doing the three Thursday games to get you guys set. It's a Thanksgiving only, and looks like we'll probably record Saturday morning the rest of the action for Week 12 in the NFL. It's the Redskins and the Giants. You mentioned earlier that you wanted to talk about some of the Giants pass catchers, so let's do it.
Yeah, well, we've already spoken enough about Kirk Cousins. I think just in the other segments, don't really have to touch on him. But let's get to the Redskins offense first besides him, and we'll jump into the Giants receivers. At running back, Samaje Perine. So just everything has fallen into place for him to be like a workhorse. You know, it's like almost by default. But he, at the same time, he's also earned it. I mean, he's gotten a lot better over the course of his rookie season. He looked bad early in the year. But now Rob Kelly and Chris Thompson are on injured reserve. I think they're just going to ride him. Samaje Perine, 70% of the snaps last week, 20 pass routes. That's a season high. Another season high in touches, 24, 126 yards and a touchdown against the Saints. I think as long as he holds on to the football, he's going to be in good position to have another good game against this Giants run defense that ranks 25th in DVOA and has allowed the fifth most yards to running backs on the season. If you are just going to rank the running backs as plays on the Thanksgiving only slate, for me it's Melvin Gordon at the top, and then it's Samaje Perine at number two. And then I think it would be Jerick McKinnon at number three. And then we start to get into Alfred Morris and Orleans Darkwa and Austin Eckler a little bit further down. But for me, Samaje Perine is the number two play at running back behind Melvin Gordon. In the pass catcher core, we're going to get Jamison Crowder against Dominique Rogers Cromartie. So the volume has been there for Jamison Crowder, 8+ targets in 3 straight games. The matchup isn't ideal. Dominique Rogers Cromartie, when he's on his game, as good as any slot corner in the NFL. You know, that doesn't mean that Jamison Crowder is going to have a bad game. It just means that he's in a difficult matchup, and it's always something that we should be aware of. I think that this could be a breakthrough game for Josh Doctson. Last week, Josh Doctson set or equaled season highs in targets and yards against the Saints, 87% of the snaps, which is a number that he's beat or he's equaled or exceeded in 3 straight weeks. The Giants are giving up a ton of big passing plays, second most 20-plus yard completions allowed in the NFL, and Josh Doctson is the Redskins' best big play threat on the perimeter. Purely in terms of matchup, I think that Vernon Davis has the best matchup in the Redskins' pass catcher core against the Giants. They didn't allow a touchdown to a tight end last week, which ended their league record of doing so at 10 games. But they did give up 9 catches for 120 yards to Travis Kelce and Ross Travis. Vernon Davis, so now we have an 8-game sample of Jordan Reed being out for games. And in those 8 games, Vernon Davis would be on pace for 70 catches and 924 yards, 4 touchdowns, which would make him the number 6 overall tight end in PPR fantasy scoring this year. Ryan Grant, I think, is sneaky. With Terrell Pryor out of the picture, Ryan Grant has played 77% of the snaps or more in 2 of the Redskins' last 3 games. He has 6 red zone targets on the year. That is a close fourth behind Josh Doctson, who has 8, Jamison Crowder, who has 8, and Vernon Davis at 7, Ryan Grant at 6. So it's not a big separation. Ryan Grant is cheap on the daily fantasy sites. He has a good matchup against a bad Giants secondary, and he's going to be out there a lot. And he's playing with the quarterback who is projected to score the most points on the slate. On the other side, Eli Manning, he's going to be playing this game without DJ Fluker and Justin Pugh, his starting right guard and his starting right tackle, and Sterling Shepard. So that, to me, that makes him a tough sell on this slate, and he would be number 6 among all the quarterbacks on the Thanksgiving slate, even behind guys like Case Keenum, even behind a struggling Dak Prescott. Eli Manning he's only reached 290 passing yards in 1 game all year. On the season, he's 24th at his position in points per game. So he hasn't been good, and he's at a disadvantage because of all the players that he's missing. And that that's also going to make him like the lowest owned quarterback on the Thanksgiving slate. So if he somehow does have a big game, you're at a significant advantage if he's in your lineup. But just in terms of like the quality of him as a fantasy play, not very good. Orleans Darkwa last week out-touched Wayne Gallman 22-7. He's averaged 18 touches per game over his last 5 games. The workload is going to be there for him. I think missing the offensive lineman does hurt Orleans Darkwa, but this is also a good matchup for him. I think he's going to be low owned because people just don't trust the Giants, which I understand. People are going to want to play Melvin Gordon, maybe some Alfred Morris, Jerick McKinnon, Perine, and I think that Darkwa is. I think he's just as good of a play as Alfred Morris. and especially against a Redskins run defense that has really started to fall apart due to a lot of injuries. Last week, we saw the Saints running backs just tear them apart, 9.3 yards per carry. In the pass catcher core, which you know I'm sure that everybody has been waiting for, to talk about Tavarius King and Roger Lewis and Travis Rudolph. So we're going to assume that Sterling Shepard does not play. Obviously, Evan Ingram is the favorite for, you know, everything in this pass catcher core, the big favorite. The Redskins have allowed the most yards in the league to opposing tight ends. Evan Ingram did not play well last week against Kansas City. A bunch of drops, but the matchup is good. We know that his role isn't going to suddenly change. You know, so he's an awesome play. But the other guys, trying to figure out, you know, which one of these guys is going to have a solid game. Like, one of these guys scores a touchdown, it's going to be huge for you on the Thanksgiving-only slate. And I haven't really been able to decide. I'm just going to mix them in myself, depending on, you know, who fits what lineup construction. But Travis Rudolph is going to be the slot receiver, and the Redskins have given up in terms of where are they allowing production? It's in the slot. Adam Thielen roughed them up, 8 catches for 166 yards and a touchdown. Doug Baldwin, 7 catches for 108 yards and a touchdown. Nelson Agholor had 2 big games against them. Travis Rudolph is an undrafted rookie out of I believe Florida State. And he has replaced Sterling Shepard in 3 games this year. His target total is 1, 6, and 6. You know, we're reaching, but he's going to get some opportunity. The outside guys are going to be Tavarius King and Roger Lewis. And it's hard to really decipher between these guys because neither has been heavily targeted. Over their last 3 games, Roger Lewis has 11 targets. Tavarius King has 15. So slight edge there to Tavarius King. But on the season, Roger Lewis has 5 red zone targets, and Tavarius King only has 2. They both play on the outside a lot and move back and forth a lot. And Josh Norman never moves. So in terms of who's going to avoid Josh Norman, it's hard to decipher that. But Tavarius King does run more slot routes than Roger Lewis. Tavarius King runs in the slot 19% of the time. Roger Lewis, 3% of the time. Josh Norman only goes in the slot 2% of the time. So there are like edges on both sides, and it's just really hard to pick between the two. The Redskins have given up the NFL's second most 20-plus yard complete, the third most 20-plus yard completions. And I think that suits Tavarius King's game a little bit. He's more of the speedster. Roger Lewis is the bigger possession receiver. So I think that suits Tavarius King. But I know it's hard to decide between the two. And my plan is to just sprinkle them in. And that takes care of the final one.
I love it. Evan, terrific job as always. I am already looking to part 2, my friend. It should be awesome. Speaking of awesome, you guys know about this because I was telling you about it last week if you wanted the free Madden. By the way, if you want the free Madden this week, just Amazon. Just take advantage of the Amazon banner ad at rostucker.com. Forward that to me, and you might be able to get a free Madden this week. Free Madden code. You got to tell me if you want PS4 or Xbox. But you got to click through the banner ad landing page deal over at rostucker.com for Amazon first. Anyway, how about some of these new video games that are available? Madden 18, Assassin's Creed Origins, NBA 2K18, and of course, Call of Duty World War II, which looks awesome. I'm not even like a gamer, dude, but Call of Duty World War II looks incredible. Absolutely incredible. And you can play any of those games for free just by going to Gamefly.com/Eaton. That's Gamefly.com/Eaton, E-A-T-I-N, to start your free premium 30-day trial. The premium trial allows you to check out two games and or movies. They got movies there too. At a time. You only get this offer by visiting gamefly.com/Eaton. Pretty awesome. Sign up for the free premium trial. Go gamefly.com/Eaton. Start playing whatever games you want. You got 30 days to play two games at a time. Just keep sending them back, getting them back, sending them back, getting them back, sending them back, getting them back. Gamefly.com/Eaton. Speaking of sending them back and getting them back, we're going to send back part number one because we are done. And we will have part number two for you guys, and excited about the rest of the games as well. He is Evan Silva, at Evan Silva on Twitter. Please retweet him when he posts the show, or me, at Ross Tucker NFL. The podcast channel is at RTF Podcast. I guess the podcast handle, not really the podcast channel. We appreciate those of you that help us out by spreading the word via social media, as well as the iTunes rankings, comments, and downloading multiple times on multiple devices. For right now, though, I am totally stuffed, although not as stuffed as I will be tomorrow. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Feast Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Even Money, and the College Draft Podcast, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.